It is Wednesday night, and we are finishing up, and I do appreciate, Keith, you sharing that, you know, what I have shared with you over the years remains, because that's always my heart. What good is it if I come in here and just stir up a bunch of emotions and you feel good and it's all right, hallelujah, hoo-hoo-hoo, but if it doesn't stick with you, what good is it? And that's why I do love principles so much, because I believe it is principles that we can hang on to. It's principles that we can apply and put into our life. But I told you as I came on Sunday, the theme, if you will, for this series has been principles without presence have no power. So I've not been as specific on principle this time, because I really do. I think it's important that we have the presence of the living God. It's vital. So that's kind of been the focus of this. Having said that, tonight we're going to, you know, drill a little deeper into some principle, but straight out of Scripture. I've got 10 Scriptures tonight to make it through. Keith asked me what I was preaching on tonight, and I said, well, I got 10 Scriptures. Last night we kind of ended with this whole concept of, if we're going to come out of the orphan heart, the orphan mindset, move into sonship, we have to, first of all, say, as Jesus said, Father, not my will, your will be done. That requires our willingness to humble ourselves and submit, bring ourselves under the authority of our Father. So really what I wanted to do tonight, and I never know, you know, I realize it's 7 o'clock, and I hope to get you out before 8 tonight. I've been saying that every week, but night, but I'm gonna try to do it tonight. We'll see. But these 10 Scriptures, I really want you, if you can, if you have some way of jotting them down, I really would like for you to spend some time meditating on these, because I'm not going to preach 10 messages to you out of these 10 Scriptures, okay? I'm just going to try to spend a little time highlighting some things, and that I want you to spend some time meditating on these Scriptures, meditating on these truths in your relationship, in your conversation with God. I gave you the list last night. We still have some, I think, up here on the front, if you didn't get one, that you can use as a resource to identify and recognize the orphan spirit, the orphan heart that may still be in operation in your life, so that you can see that, recognize it, take responsibility for it, repent, renounce, remove it, get it out of your life, and begin to renew your mind in the avenue that God would have you to go in. So I gave all that to you last night. So let's move into some Scripture. You with me? I got them all wrote down, so I ain't got to keep turning in my Bible, but I'll give you time to turn. So turn with me, first of all, to John chapter 15. I told you last night we were in John 14. Read John 14, 15, 16, 17. Read through all of this. But John 14 is a Scripture that, or John 15, is a Scripture that I often use. Every time I meet with someone in a quota, I'm not a counselor. I don't have any degrees except hot. I'm just hot, right? I don't have any degrees. There's nothing hanging on my wall. So I tell people when they come in, I'm not a counselor. Don't look to me as a professional counselor. That is not what I am. I'm just a jacked up guy that God has helped get life a little more sane, and I want to try to help you do the same thing. I'm just trying to help get life going again. I'm not a counselor. But I begin every session with anybody, and usually this is a part of my prayer. Jesus, you said, apart from you, we can do nothing. And I acknowledge that, and I recognize that. So if there's anything going to get done in this time together, you are going to have to do it. And that's exactly where I want us to go to begin with, is John 15, 5. And this is where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I told you last night, if we're really going to do this thing with God, we've got to go all in. We've got to come to a point in our life where I submit and surrender everything that's in my head, in my mind, all of this self-will, self-exaltation, self-deification, all this concept of me figuring it out on my own, I've got to lay it aside. We've got to go all in. Can I get an amen? all in is what we're after. So these are 10 scriptures to help you go all in, okay? That's what tonight's all about. This first one tells me that without Jesus, I can do nothing. Now, the orphan spirit don't want to hear this. Orphan spirit says, I can do anything I want to do. I can handle it. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You can do absolutely nothing without Jesus. That was a good place for an amen. It was. I am the vine. You are the branches. What does the branch do? All the branch does is receive the life that's flowing through the vine and allows that to produce fruit on the branch. Does that make sense? A branch can do absolutely nothing detached from the vine. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. I'm the vine. If you want your life to count for anything, if you want any real fruit to be produced in your life, you've got to stay connected in intimate personal relationship with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. All three members of the Godhead, we've got to have that connection, because apart from Him, I can do absolutely nothing. Does that make sense? Guys, we got to own this. If we're going to come out of this mindset, we've got to own the fact. Keith and I were talking today. By the way, I came, somebody said, you got here early. I said, yeah, about 10 o'clock this morning. I knocked off today. I canceled all my appointments, and I come to hang out with Keith because we don't get a lot of time together. So we've enjoyed the day together, had a lot of good conversation. And in our conversations, we were talking about, you know, my younger years and other guys in the younger years of pastoring. And boy, was I ever a mess. Because at that point in my life, I thought I knew everything. Right? Come on now. I mean, some of these old heads that try to talk to me, and I didn't want to hear it. Because y'all don't know what you're talking about. I understand. I know what needs to happen. If I used to tell my wife, if you'll just listen to me, I'll make you perfect. I did. You believe I'm still married? That's a miracle. That's the grace of God. But I believed it. I really believe that if you would just listen to me, not just as my wife, but in the church as well, if you just listen to me, if you'll just do what I'm telling you to do, everything's going to work out because I've got it figured out. Boy, was I an idiot. I now realize I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. I have nothing to give you. Makes you feel good, don't it? You mean I could spend all this time with you? This is the fourth night together, and you telling me I ain't got nothing for you? Absolutely. I don't have anything. If anything is accomplished, it's going to be because Jesus did it. All I have to give you is what I have received from Him, period. Are you hearing me? And guys, the same is true for you. The only thing you have to give to your wife, to your kids, to anyone you in a relationship with is what you have received from the Father. If you've not received it, you don't have it to give. That's the problem with a lot of us. We're given what we have received. And I've not received a whole lot in relationship with my Father, but I've received a whole lot from a lot of other folks in my life, and it hadn't been good. Come on now. Isn't that the reality? Am I the only parent who has done things, said things to my kids that I hated when my dad did it and said it to me? Am I the only one? I know I'm not. I hated it. I despised it. I swore I'd never do it. And here it comes. Why? Because I'm giving out of what I have received from my earthly father. Does that make sense? So if I'm going to change the orphan mindset, I got to throw away everything that I received from my earthly parents and earthly authority, and I've got to go back here to the vine. And I've got to realize that I can do absolutely nothing apart from Him. It's got to be all in. I've got to come to this place where I am willing to throw away everything that I think I know and submit myself 100% and totally to Him. And just start from this foundation. I have nothing. I can do nothing. I know nothing. Y'all watch Hogan's Heroes when you were a kid? What was the old boy? I know nothing. what was his name? Schultz. Y'all remember Schultz? I know nothing. You can quote Schultz. Because, guys, that's the reality. We've got to come to that place. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bring forth much fruit. But that's the only way fruit's going to come. Do you want change in your life? Do you want change in your relationships with your wife, with your kids, with your coworkers, with your extended family? Do you want some fruit and change? It's only going to come as I abide in him and he abides in me. Apart from him, I can do nothing. Are you with me? Nine more to go. John 5, verse 19. John 5, verse 19. See, I'm strategic tonight. I'm going to give you scripture to look up so I can drink while you're doing it. I say this too about Zion Hill. In my church, when you say turn to a scripture, you don't hear very few pages flipping at all. If people got out their tablets and their phones, and I hear a lot of pages rustling in Zion Hill. I like that. I'm old school that way. I like the Bible. I like the Word. Now, don't misunderstand me. I use my Bible on my phone, but it's something about looking at the book. Amen? Hearing them pages turn. John 5, 19. This is Jesus speaking. Now, I just told you I can do nothing apart from him. Here's what Jesus says. The Son can do nothing of himself. Did you hear that? The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. We're just following the example of our big brother, our Savior, Jesus. So don't let it offend you when I tell you you can do nothing apart from Christ. Because he's saying the exact same thing. I can do nothing apart from my Father. Are you with me? This is the submission of the Son that I am following as I submit to the Son and the Father. He says, the things that I do, it's the Father doing. All I'm doing is what I saw my Father do. All I'm saying, if you continue to read, is what I saw my Father say. Jesus says, I am just a vessel. I'm allowing my Father to flow through me. And guys, that's exactly what we're here for on this planet. I taught you last time I was with you about your identity and how to reclaim your identity. We talked about those three purposes. Those three questions. Who am I? What is my purpose? And why am I here? If you'll remember, I simplified it to this. My purpose, my reason for existing, why I'm here, is simply to receive all the love and everything else I can get from my Father and give it away to everybody I come in contact with. That's it. That's what I'm here for. That's what Jesus is saying. All I do is what I've seen him do. All I want to do is treat people the way he's treated me. All I want to do is interact with you the way he interacts with me. Do you see the importance of this relationship? I've got to know my Father and how he speaks to me, how he engages with me, because that's going to be now the pattern of how I live my life. I want to exemplify his nature and his character. Man, how awesome would it be if I could actually stand in front of you and say, I only do what I saw my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. I allow him to be the Lord of my life. I allow him to be in control of my mouth and my thoughts and my actions. How awesome would that be? You think I'm there? Keith's laughing. That's funny. That's funny, yeah. No, I'm not there. You ain't either. But I want to pursue it. I want to follow hard after this kind of relationship with my Father. Amen? I can do nothing without him because he said he could do nothing without the Father. John 1, 3. John 1, 3. I'll drink another sip of water. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now, this is in the context of John. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John 3 tells us, He made everything, and without Him was not anything made. Why do I bring that into focus in this context? Because, guys, I got to understand that. He is the creator. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the source. Principle without presence has no power. I need to get this principle into my understanding so it can be empowered. If anything is accomplished, it's because Jesus accomplishes it. Period. 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 I have to throw out this concept that I somehow am responsible for anything happening. I'm not. He is. He's the only one that can produce life. He's the only one that can produce change. He's the only one that can produce anything of any lasting, significant value. It's Jesus. You with me? Is anything good happening in your life? It was Jesus. John tells us in 1 John 4, verse 1 actually, chapter 1, verse 7, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. Every good thing that exists in my life and in yours, He is the author of. Every good thing. There's nothing that exists that did not come through the hands of the Creator. Listen to this scripture again. All things were made by Him. How many things? All things. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, obviously, that's past tense, but I'm bringing this into present and future tense, and I'm saying He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm telling you, everything you see is because of Him. Everything that happens now is because of Him. And everything that's going to take place is because of Him. I have to be all in with Jesus, or nothing of any significance and value is going to be accomplished. Are you with me? Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. I really like this scripture. I like them all. People ask me all the time, what's your favorite verse? Whatever one I'm meditating on at the moment, right? What's your favorite book? Whichever one I'm reading through at the moment. Every time I'm in one, this is my favorite one. This is awesome. So right now, this is my favorite verse. Y'all with me? Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Again, please take these down. Spend some time with them in your own time with God. Jeremiah 10, 23. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Boy, I wish we could get a hold of this and speak this as truth and reality in our life. Jeremiah says he knows. I need to know. God, help me to know. I need to know that the way of man is not in himself. What's that mean? I am not the creator of my path and my direction. I don't get to determine who I am, where I go, what I do. He does. It's not in man. I don't possess it. He's the daddy. He's the father. He's the creator. He is the source of everything. I have to submit and yield to Him. Are you with me? I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now, don't misunderstand me when I'm about to make this statement. But anytime I hear somebody say, this is what I think I'm going to do, it always kind of sits with me. There's a little catch in my spirit. And without fail, this is the question I ask people. When they say, this is what I think I'm going to do, I always ask them, have you talked to God about this? Have you prayed? Have you asked the Father's directions? I remember my oldest niece, when she was graduating high school, we were riding in the car one day. She was in the back seat, and I said, Mary Beth, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going, I got it all figured out. I'm going to go to college here, and I'm going to major in this, and I'm going to get a job here, and I'm going to do this. And I'm like, okay, great. I looked up in that rearview mirror, and I looked her in the eye, and I said, hey, have you asked God about any of this? And the look that came across her face, and I'm not bashing my niece, but the look that came across her face, she had never even considered the thought. And she said it. Well, I've never really thought about it. Somebody needed to have pointed out to that young girl, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Because this scripture tells me, Jeremiah says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. I taught y'all, I tell y'all all the time, only God knows who you are. Only God knows your true identity. Only God knows where he's trying to get you and where he's trying to take you. It's not up to you to decide. It's up to him. We've got to yield and submit to our Father. Go all in. God, this life is yours. I'm here. I'm just your vessel. Use me. Guide me. Take me anywhere you want to. I don't have the right to decide that for myself. Are you with me? It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Please get this in your heart. Let this be a foundation of truth to you in those tough times in life. We all have them. We all have those situations and circumstances where I need to figure out what to do here. I mean, that's usually one of the main questions I get when people come talk to me. What do I need to do? And my answer is always the same. I don't know. Ain't my job to tell you. I'll never tell you what to do because that's not my role. That's not my responsibility. My job is to point you to the Father who knows everything about you so you can begin to get in relationship with him so that you can begin to hear from him what you need to do. He is the one who guides. He's the one who directs. Now, yes, he uses the Word of God, and there are guiding principles in truth that we can always apply. I mean, I know it's not God's will. You ain't even got to pray about this one. It's not God's will for you to have adultery. If he ain't, I mean, if he or she is married, it ain't God's will. Right? I ain't got to pray about that. That's pretty clear. And there's a lot of things in life that are pretty clear, at least to me. I ain't got time to get off on this tangent, but man, there's a whole lot of crazy stuff going on in our world today. Don't make no sense whatsoever. Right? I got an 11-year-old boy, sixth grade, and I am blown away at the conversations I'm already having to have with my 11-year-old son because of what he's hearing and experiencing in the public school system at 11 years old. Y'all know I'm a pretty simple guy, so I just lay it out as simply as I can to him and say, Levi, does that make any sense to you? Do you think that's all right? No, Daddy. I said, good. Thank God you've got more sense than most people on the planet right now. It's not that complicated when you look at it in fact. Does that make sense? But what we've done, I taught you this back this on Sunday. I said this. We've taken the role and the responsibility of determining our own identity. We've taken it on ourselves to determine and decide who I am, what I'm going to be, when I'm going to be it. So we live in a society now that's gone so crazy that I get to identify. I identify as a female today. I want to identify as a millionaire myself. I identify as someone who ain't never going to have to worry about being broke. I want to identify as a lot of things, but it don't change the reality of what I identify as. I had a set, I didn't have time to get off on that tangent, but I did. This scripture tells me it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And again, the orphan heart can't handle this. The orphan spirit will not submit to this. It's going to dig its heels in and say, well, I don't like that. I'm going to do what I want to do. I remember as a kid, I hated the thought of submitting to God. I really believed God was going to send me to Africa. If I went all in, if I just laid it all on the altar and said, all right, God, I'm yours, completely, totally, he was going to send me over there to Africa with a boo-boo and a bone in his lip. I mean, I just knew that's what was going to happen. So because I didn't want to do that, I held back from full surrender, full submission. Does that make sense? But guys, it's not in me. Now thank God, I do thank God he didn't send me to Africa. I really do, because I wouldn't have done well over there, I don't think. And you know what? God knew that. That's not what he created me for. So the things you're so afraid of, don't worry about it. Submit, surrender to God. And I'm telling you this, there's nothing any more fulfilling than what God has created you for. You may be afraid of it, but if you will allow God to take you to that place that he's guiding and leading you in, you will never be more complete, you'll never be more whole, you'll never be more fulfilled than in what God directs you into, even if it don't make sense, even if the enemy's trying to get you to create fear about it. Let God guide you. It's not in man to determine and direct his own steps. Y'all with me? This won't take as long, because we all know it. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. Who wants to quote it for me? I know somebody can. There you go. I can do what? All things through who? Christ that strengthens me. Now again, this is a challenge, one of these familiar scriptures. We know it so well we can just quote it. We ain't got to think about it, but think about it. Stop and consider what's actually being said by Paul to the church at Philippi. I can do all things, not I in myself. I am powerful. I am mighty. I am strong. Is that what he's saying? No. I've already established for you, you can't do nothing apart from him. But in him, you can do all things. Does that make sense? When I yield, when I submit, when I bow down, all things, what does all things consist of? We want to think of it this way, at least I do in my mind. Well, that means all these wonderful, mighty, lofty things. I can do that, I can do that, I can do that. And yes, it means that. But you know what else it means? I can go through some of the most difficult, troubling, trying times in my life through the strength that God gives me. One of our board members at Good Samaritan, awesome man, Steve Allen, his wife Belinda, have a 22-year-old son who struggled most of his life. A couple of weeks ago, well, it was actually the 31st. It was New Year's Eve night. I got the call about 8 o'clock that David had taken his own life. 22 years old. Honestly, I couldn't sleep that night. Not so much because of David, but because of what I knew Steve and Belinda had to be experiencing. I was just troubled in my spirit. So I spent most of the night just praying for my friend and his wife. I was not able to go that night, but I went to the house, and I was blown away by the strength, the comfort, the presence of God that exuded from this man and this woman. I went to the funeral. This mama stood up at the funeral and proclaimed the gospel message to everyone in that place. And I sit there, packed room, I couldn't even get in. I was sitting outside listening through a speaker. And I looked at the funeral director and I'm like, how is this mama standing there in front of this crowd and in power and in authority proclaiming the gospel message? How's she doing that? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I don't want us to take this little scripture that we get plastered on our mirrors and pictures on the wall and magnets on the refrigerator and lose the significance of what's being said here. This isn't just you can be powerful and mighty. This signifies whatever life throws at you, through Christ, you can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know we got some rough times in life. I know there's some things that we can't wrap our mind around. I'm not going to even express some things, but me and Keith talked today about some challenges that people face in life. And I'm telling you, apart from Christ, I don't know how you do it. Apart from an intimate personal relationship and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit of God flowing in your life, I don't know how you live this life. I'll be honest with you. But guys, that's what all in produces. When I go all in with God, He empowers me. Even during the most trying and difficult times of my life, there is a presence that fills me, that empowers me, that equips me to face and endure anything that I have to endure. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, some of my heroes of the faith. I love what they said. Our God is able, but even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down. We're going in the fire. I believe my God's able, and I believe He's going to deliver me from that fiery furnace. But even if He don't, I'm not bowing down to you. I love that. How do we get there? Only by full commitment. Only by total surrender. Only by going all in is that kind of presence and power active in our life. Are you with me? We could go on and on and on about examples from Scripture of those who endured. But we read last night, Jesus endured the cross, despised the shame. He is our witness. He is our example. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He endured more than we've ever endured through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm talking to somebody right now. Some of you guys are facing a mountain and an obstacle and something in front of you that looks overwhelming, that looks like there's no hope and there's no way through. I'm telling you, go all in with God. Lay it all on the altar. Push your chips to the middle of the table and He will empower you. He will give you what you need to go through it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying you're going to be skipping and jumping along the path, but He will empower you to walk through whatever you need to walk through. That's another good place for an amen. We halfway there. He ain't gonna get out 4-8. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Deuteronomy 31. Verse 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. When you go all in with God, this is the promise. It is the Lord that goes before you. I like that He's going before me. You ever been in a situation? And you kind of facing something, and you're like, oh, well, we need to go. How about you go first? You ever done that? You go first. We fixed to jump off. In Panama City, y'all ever do the bungee jump? No, I didn't either. Never would. I ain't going to. But I can imagine if I'm on that bungee jump, Timmy, you go first. You go first. I'm going to make sure you go first. And if it works out all right with you, I might go then. That's exactly what this is saying. He goes first. He goes before you. Whatever it is you've got to walk through, He's walking through it before you. That makes sense? You with me there? Law enforcement guys, first one through the door catches it, right? First one through the door. That's the man. That's the hero. The first one through the door. Jesus is the first one through the door. It is the Lord. He it is that doth go before thee. He paves the way. He opens the door. He moves everything that needs to move. You just fall in behind Him and let Him guide you. Are you with me? He's the one that goes before you. He will be with you. You ever feel alone? Go ahead and shake your head up and down. Yeah. So what? What's feelings got to do with it? Show me one verse in this Bible that tells me you need to live by your feelings. I feel alone. You're not. Get over it. I feel alone. So what? He's promised. He's never going to leave you. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you. That's the promise. I don't feel it. I don't care. Are you going to live by faith or are you going to live by feeling? Are you going to live by the facts and the truth of the Word of God or are you going to live by what's in your head? Come on now. How well is living by what's in your head done you so far? I submit to you, you ain't got nothing to lose. Throw that mess away and start living by faith in the truth of the Word of God. I feel alone. You're not. You're never alone. You're never abandoned. There's not an orphan in this room. We've got a daddy who loves us. I don't feel it. It doesn't matter. Pursue it anyway. It's real. It's true. It's a fact. He is the one who goes before us. He's the one who's going to be with us. He will not fail us. He's not going to forsake us. So don't fear, neither be dismayed. You with me? Let's go. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't stand in your tracks. Move forward following Him. He's paving the way. Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4. You ain't got to turn if you don't want to. I don't care. Y'all having fun? I'm on a mission to get you out of here before 8 o'clock tonight. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again, another very familiar passage. You know the context. You know the setting. Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And here's his answer. Man shall not live by bread alone. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. The man's been out there for 40 days fasting. Don't you know he's ready to eat something? If you be the Son of Man, turn the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus replies this, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm going to say it again. Any way of thinking that doesn't match how God thinks is a form of insanity. Every word that comes out of God's mouth is our manna. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that is what we live and breathe on. Are you with me? If I'm going to submit and go all in and truly surrender my heart and my life to God, I've got to know what He says. And I want to hang on every word. Guys, there's not a word in this book that is not there for a reason. Every word is significant. Every word has power. Every word can transform your life if you put faith in the Word of God. If you begin to live your life submitted to, completely in obedience to anything and everything God says, don't live by bread alone. What does that mean? I don't just live by the physical circumstances and situations around me. I don't live by what I can see. I live by the reality of this relationship that I have with God and what He has spoken and said in my heart and in my life. Every word that comes out of His mouth is life to me. Amen. Matthew 6:33. Another very familiar scripture. But I want to bring a little focus to it. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, you can probably quote this for me. But think about what's being said. Seek first. Seek first. Reality in a lot of people's lives, I ain't gonna say most because I can't speak for you, but in a lot of people's lives, God comes after all other routes have been tried. Come on now. I mean, I know you Christians, I know you love God, I know you good people, but don't tell me that you are seeking God first every time in your life. Don't tell me you are. Because if you are, I need to come sit down with you and learn from you. Seek first. If I am all in, if I am submitted to and willing to walk in obedience to the Father in every area of my life, I am going to seek first what God says. Seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Jesus said it this way in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when I see this phrase, the kingdom of God, seek the kingdom of God, in my mind, here's how I interpret this. Father, in this situation and in this moment, what is your kingdom going to do? That makes sense. I want to bring the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God to earth. I walk in and my boys are acting the fool and they ain't listening to me. I need to bring the kingdom. I want to seek first the kingdom of God. I want to bring the kingdom through how I respond and how I react. I want to bring the kingdom to rule and reign so that my sons begin to operate out of the kingdom instead of the old mess that's in them. I want to bring the kingdom. I want to seek first the kingdom of God. That makes sense? Whatever you're facing, whatever your situation, God, what does it look like for your kingdom to come in this moment? How can I usher in your kingdom in this presence? Help me first think about bringing the kingdom. I want to enter in, usher in the kingdom. Does that make sense? I am submitted. I am obedient. I am yielded to you. I can do nothing apart from you. In this moment, I am somehow going to bring the kingdom. Help me seek first. Y'all with me? I don't always do that. You don't either. So it's not about guilt and shame and condemnation. It's about changing from the orphan heart and the orphan mindset to a sonship guidance and living in this life. How do we do that? We put him first. We put him first in everything. When I don't, I repent for it and I back up and I fix it. But I keep seeking first. I can't move on without saying I think first also implies early. I'm not a disciplined person. You may find that hard to believe. I'm not a very disciplined person. First thing in the morning is not my most favorite time. Are you with me? First thing in the morning. Now, I've been taught all my life in church, you need to get up early. You need to spend time with God before you start your day. And I'm not discrediting that reality. But boy, that ain't easy for me to do. But I do believe there's something significant about turning our hearts and our minds to Him first. Maybe this will help you. This is just Mitch. For Christmas, my wife got me some of the wireless earbuds for the Apple Watch. I didn't really want them, to be honest with you. I thought she was wasting money, but she got me the Apple earbuds. I love them. So here's what I have started to do. First thing in the morning. Well, not first thing. I get a shower first thing. I ain't going to break it all down for you. There's other stuff happens before then. But anyway, after I get out of the shower, once I begin to move in, I put in the earbuds. And I've got an app on my phone called YouVersion. It's the Bible. Some of you may have it. And on that particular app, you can just hit a little play button and he will read the Bible to you. So here's how I, in my own life, I'm just be honest with you. Unless God radically changes me, I'm never going to get up and spend an hour in prayer and meditation and study of the Word of God before I start my day. It just ain't going to happen unless God miraculously changes me. But I can seek Him first by putting the earbud in my ear and allowing the Word of God to speak to me. Call it a New Year's resolution. Call it whatever you want, but I've purposed and determined in my heart a part of me seeking Him and His kingdom first is beginning my day with Him. It can be as simple, and it has been profound in my own life. Simply plugging in an earbud, hitting play on the phone while I'm brushing my teeth, and shaving and everything else that I got to do to get ready in the morning and allow that word to flow through my mind. I'm thinking about it. I'm meditating on it. It's changing me. It's changing me. Here's my routine. I am going to hurry. I get ready. I get up. I get all my duds together. I get everything done except for put on my shoes and coffee. I go upstairs, and I start getting my three boys up. Now, I got friends that tell me I need to do it differently, but this is how I do it. My oldest is the first one. He's the one who's got to have a shower every day now. He's 11 years old, and he needs a shower every day because he smells. Every day, I got to get him up. It takes me about 15 minutes to get him roused up enough to get out of that bed. Now, I've got friends tell me, you go in there, flip on the light, tell him to get up one time. If he don't, take the belt and just lay it on him. I promise you, he'll get out of that bed. It may work. It probably would. But my daddy did me that way, and I didn't like what I felt inside when daddy did that. So I ain't doing that to my boy. So just take it wherever you want to take it. But what I found, seeking first, plugging in the earbuds, I would get very frustrated and irritated at Levi because it took me 15 minutes to get him out of the bed. And I would begin to get a little rough. My tone would change. Some of the things I would say would not be the kindest, trying to get him out of bed. Y'all with me? But I found something miraculous happened. And I contribute it to the earbuds. I contribute it to listening to the word before I get there. I'm dealing with my son in an entirely different spirit. It's amazing how there's something within me that interacts and engages with him differently because the kingdom of God is being sought. The kingdom of God is already influencing me before I walk up those stairs to wake up my son. And I am able to somehow, through him, I can't do it, I told you that, I can't do nothing. But through him, he is able to change how I speak to and deal with my son in that moment. As simple as listening to the word before I get there changes me. It does. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. We could talk more about that, but I'm hurrying. Number 9, Galatians 6, 3. You're going to like this one. Galatians 6, 3. For if man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That's a pretty hard word. For if man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm communicating to you. I know David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm marvelous as the work of God. You know me. You know, that's one of my favorite scriptures. And God has made me awesome. I know that. But apart from him, I'm nothing. Anytime I begin to allow the mindset of the orphan spirit to work, and I begin to think, I will exalt myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. When I start allowing self to begin to rule in my life, when that happens, I've deceived myself. Does that make sense? For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, if you think by your strength, by your power, you've arrived, you've achieved, and you're leaving God out of the equation, you've deceived yourself. Moving on, that didn't land too good. Number 10, Philippians 2, 13. Final scripture. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get you out for 8. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It's God that works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. What's the will? That's his plan. Do you realize that God has a detailed plan and will and desire for every one of us? You realize that? The Bible tells me before I was even conceived in my mother's womb, God knew me. Not just Mitch Griffin by name, but God knew what His will, His plan, His desire for me was to be. It is God that works in me both to will and to do His good pleasure. I can't accomplish it. Only He can. This is where I love what I say so often. Only God knows who I am. Only God knows my true identity. Only God knows what He's created and designed and gifted me for. So when I yield and I submit and I walk in obedience to the Father, it frees Him to both will and do what He desires to accomplish in me. And you too. I'm ending this whole series by simply asking you to do this. Just submit. Just take everything you got, put it in one big pile, push it to the middle of the table, and say, God, it's yours. It's yours. You're a good Father. We sang it. You're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. I love that song. You're a good Father. Any and everything that wants to speak negatively towards you is a lie from the pit of hell. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to participate with it. God, I'm signing my name on the dotted line in ink. I'm pushing everything to the middle of the table, and I am going to live this life in complete and total submission and surrender to you. I'm all in. Can you go all in? That's all I'm asking you to do. Really pretty simple concept, but go all in. Now, having said that, it's not always easy, granted. I got a guy I've been meeting with for over 3 years, and he's getting there. He's taking some baby steps. But I really believe he's right on the cusp. A couple weeks ago, he come in and looked at it, he just cries, admits, why is it so hard for me to go all in? Because there's an enemy. That resistance that you feel is your enemy. Because he knows if you ever push through his resistance and you ever push all those chips to the middle of the table and you ever yield, submit completely and entirely to God, he knows how dangerous you're going to be. It scares, can I say this? It scares the hell out of him. It does. You are the most frightening beings on the planet to the enemy. He is scared of you. He's afraid of you. He's afraid of you finding out who you are. He's afraid of you connecting with the Father and finding your true identity, because when you do, he's doomed. He's lost. And not only is he lost you, you become a deciding factor in the lives of everybody you come in contact with, because what you have now received, you can give away. Do you hear me? All you can do is give away what you've received. Some of what I'm dishing out right now is not from heaven. I want to receive everything that I can from heaven so that everything I give away is from heaven. I want his kingdom established through me and through you. I'm going to hush now. Father, we love you. We thank you for this chance to be together. I love Zion Hill Church. God, there's not a more special place on the earth than Zion Hill, in my opinion. You are moving, you are working in this place, and we honor you and we honor these people. But Father, I ask that every one of us in this room go all in. Father, if we've been holding back just 1%, God, let that 1% be obliterated tonight. If we've been holding back a bunch, God, let us just give it all to you. Father, tonight, let us submit. Let us surrender. Let us yield everything to you. Because you are a good Father. You love us absolutely, marvelously, lavishly, unconditionally. And let your love bring us to a place of repentance. Let us tonight lay it on the altar, give it all to you, and meet us there. Empower us so we can live for you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What number? What we're doing? What's going on? She's singing. All right. So if you're here tonight, and that's you,
You're ready to lay it all on the line. You're ready to sign in ink. You're ready to put your chips in the middle of the table. This altar's open. I'm not a high-pressure guy. But if you're here and it's your time, I invite you to come.
I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will. Dark of night.